This is In Focus on WSIU. I'm Jennifer Fuller. Artificial intelligence is being used in more and more areas of our lives, with data being gathered nearly every time we pick up our phones or log into a computer. But how should that technology, and more, be used in healthcare? That issue is the focus of this year's John and Marcia Ryan bioethicist lecture at the SIU School of Law. I talked with Harvard University's Glenn Cohen ahead of his lecture next week.
The benefit is not just doing what we're already doing even better, what's sometimes called pushing frontiers, but also the idea of democratizing expertise. So when you think how difficult it is to get a dermatologist appointment for someone in the United States, imagine we could give you access to that quality of review of your spots to know if they're cancerous or not, for example, whether you need to see the dermatologist to everybody immediately. Now, imagine we could do that for the entire world. Think about people in the developing world for whom these technologies or access to a dermatologist is actually quite a luxury. Could we scale up in a huge way and democratize the expertise? That would be amazing. So that's on the positive side. On the side of concerns, and I'm a lawyer and an ethicist, so I often say I specialize in rainy days. I can find clouds for any bit of sunshine you might encounter, right? There's a series of different, I think, interesting questions that are happening. One is to say most of these artificial intelligences, especially machine learning types, are built using patient data. What rights should a patient have to say, don't use my data or don't use my electronic health records to build this? How de-identified is the data? How much privacy does an individual have? A different issue has to do with how we know when an artificial intelligence model is ready for prime time, right? Should we have different standards of review for higher risk versus lower risk? What role for an institution like the Food and Drug Administration, the FDA, which for the most part does not review many of these technologies? When we want to test them in real-world settings or use them on a patient, does a patient need to specifically be told the doctor's judgment is in part being guided by a machine learning algorithm, or can the physician say nothing? Is it very different from other ways physicians consult with peers or read books or things like that? When something goes wrong, who's going to pay for it, right? What's the liability for an error, an issue similar to driverless cars that we're seeing? And then maybe finally, it's just a question of equity. Some of these algorithms have been shown to be much more successful for patients with a particular skin tone than another, and that falls often on racial lines or particular kinds of patients. To what extent do we have obligations to make sure they're used equitably?
Clearly, there's some benefit here. Improving and specifying diagnoses, tracking global and local trends, for example. But does AI also risk missing nuance and having the personal experience a physician can bring?
Absolutely. And we see similar studies with breast density and mammograms analyzing kind of breast cancer risks that typically machine learning algorithms are trained on a particular training set. The training set is not diverse. It doesn't match the set of people it's going to be used for. You're going to get errors. But in some ways, that's the easiest problem to solve for. The more difficult problem, I think, is that the algorithms do only what you tell them to do. And when you optimize against a particular goal, like cost effectiveness, how much value for a dollar spent, even when the algorithm is behaving properly and doing what you've asked it to, you might produce disparate impacts for some groups that are not so obvious until you've looked at the outputs and really thought about it. So just to say, getting an unbiased data set is an extremely important first step, but it is only a first step in terms of building algorithms that serve all of us rather than just some of us.
So where does the governance come in? Do we need guidelines and oversight from legislation, from the FDA, from doctors and their organizations like the AMA?
Yeah, so I'm going to say all of the above, which is a little bit of a cheat, but it's a little bit of they all have different roles, right? So FDA currently reviews some of these algorithms, but not all of them, right? And it turns out to depend somewhat on whether they're built into medical devices versus being something that's used by a hospital or developed in-house. So there are some gaps in what FDA reviews, and there are discussions about whether FDA needs to review more of this. But I have to say there is a bit of a culture clash between Silicon Valley time and DC time, in the sense that in Silicon Valley, right, the slogan is fail fast, fail often, right? This idea that we build things, we test them out very quickly, we refine them, we go back and forth, and we update them. FDA, on the other hand, its experience with drugs and devices is on a much slower pace, right? So really interesting questions whether we ought to have clinical trials for medical artificial intelligence the way we do for drugs, for example? Does it depend on what the riskiness is in order to do that? Can we fit this into a box of what FDA does, or are we better thinking about this the way we think about other kinds of algorithms we encounter, like credit algorithms or housing algorithms or the like? In terms of physicians, though, they in some ways are in the driver's seat in that they are the ones who are going to have to use these technologies. They are the ones whose jobs will change when these technologies become more and more pervasive. And they are the ones who I think have in some ways the most powerful say.
Professor Glenn Cohen is the Deputy Dean and James A. Atwood and Leslie Williams Professor of Law at Harvard School of Law. He's also the SIU School of Law's 2021 Ryan Bioethicist. You can join his virtual lecture Monday, March 22nd at 5 p.m. For In Focus, I'm Jennifer Fuller.